Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required. This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the most dramatic podcast ever. I am Chris Harrison, joined once again by the lovely Lauren Zima, who is back with us this week, tan, rested, and ready.
Tequila it up after a girl's trip. Wow. Maybe too much tequila. I mean, when you're drinking every day, you got to stop it at some point.
At some point when you're on vacation, you're thinking, I need a vacation from my vacation.
Yes, my liver needs a spa. Yes.
But I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're back.
By the way, thank you for giving me a mention while I was gone. I loved what you said about how we take time to do things that are important to each of us, to have girls' trips, have guys' trips. And I like missing you. It's well, nice to miss you.
It was one of the things that I loved quickly about you is that your friends are dear to you. You make them a priority along with your family. And that was clear that, hey, you still need to keep your life. I'm going to keep mine. They will blend, clearly. And that's one of the beautiful things about a relationship. But we also got to keep our separate lives going for our individuality, but also to feed our soul in those ways. And I love that.
It's an important balance to find because I do think people sometimes, you walk that dangerous line of thinking opposites attract, and then you wind up with somebody who you have nothing in common with. Like, you have to like to do the same things, but at the same time, you have to have your own things because it's exciting to tell somebody about your day and to show them something you love and teach them about it. And in this case, I loved tequila and girlfriends. But anyway, we also talk about, I could go on a rant about this, but you know what we talk about a lot is the difference between a girl's trip and a guy's trip. Like, I always say when me and my girlfriends go on a trip, the activity is talking.
Right.
We are talking the whole time. We are diving in. Like, how is your marriage? What's going on with you? We get deep. We probably cry at some point. And then when you come back from like a guy's golf trip.
Guys base their trips on an activity.
Right.
So our activity is we're going hunting. We're going fishing. We're going golfing. So we have an activity. And around that, there might be some talk. Possibly that goes deep, but we have an activity. Whereas your activity is we're going to be together and just talk.
Well, we could really dig into all this. It might be a whole episode on its own.
We'll do this someday because it is fascinating and how women talk and we'll actually, well, I don't want to go too far, but we will get into this someday.
I think it's
sleeping arrangements are very interesting to me. And that I don't want to scratch the surface because once we get going, we will dive into this rabbit hole. It is award season, LZ. You are obviously deep into this world, having worked at Entertainment Tonight for the better part of a decade.
Well, you are too, Mr. You did many red carpets for TV.
I did, actually, a little known fact because very little of you watched this, but I was on the red carpet for TV Guide. I executive produced and hosted the red carpet for TV Guide for many years. So obviously did the Globes, the SAG Awards, which were last night, the Grammys and the Oscars. Those are the big four of the redheaded stepchildren. The SAG Awards are kind of the lesser known, lesser talked about publicly, but privately within Hollywood, it is a very time-honored tradition because it's so personal. It is the Screen Actors Guild.
Well, what's interesting is a lot of people are saying that this awards show last night was just a really good show, like that the speeches were fun, that it was just enjoyable to watch. I mean, of course, we get into the most dramatic headlines every week, and what's more dramatic than a bunch of actors in a room together?
Right.
But you and I wanted to talk about it because it's interesting too. Like, one, you know, we talk about both being in TV, not just the content itself, but how people receive it. And we were wondering how many people were going to watch these SAG Awards because it was live streamed on Netflix's YouTube channel. I went and checked. It had almost 1 million views as of Monday morning. What do you think, Mr. Ratings guy? You always follow the ratings. You followed TV ratings for a long time.
I mean, look, I know a certain show that doesn't get 3 million viewers. So for something online to get 1 million viewers, and that's really kind of where the standard is now. So it's interesting to me that they have leaned into, and you said they're going to come on Netflix next year and live stream.
Next year, it's going to be live streamed on Netflix's main, I mean, not just on Netflix. Look, we've both seen this business go through so much change over the past couple years. I mean, I don't think awards shows like the Oscars, the Emmys, even though you have the biggest stars in the world, I don't think they're going to ever get the numbers they once did. But people do still talk about it online. I mean, it kind of sucks for the broadcast networks because people don't watch the main show. Right. And that's where they get their advertising dollars. But, and I'll be honest, we're about to sit here and talk about it. You and I did not watch the SAG Awards.
No,
we're just looking at the clips this morning.
Ironically, I was on Netflix. I was watching the new season of Drive to Survive, which I'm addicted to, which is phenomenal. And I'm not even a car guy. I just love the soap opera storylines of it. I think it's a great reality show. But yeah, I was on Netflix, but not watching the SAG Awards.
Yes.
And look, to your point is, it's not a novelty anymore to see the big stars. When I was growing up, and it's not that long ago, the only time you could see big stars, Julia Roberts, Tom Hanks, George Clooney, whatever, was if you tuned in to the red carpet, if you tuned in to the big show. Now,
it was the only opportunity to see them in kind of a natural moment. I mean, interviews aren't the most natural, but answering a question in an interview, yes, at the time.
It was novel, and now it's not even novel.
Giving a speech.
Because of social media, because of... you know, just this saturation of ways that we can get to these celebrities. There are very few that have kept their distance. I mean, you don't hear a lot of Tom Hanks, but even a guy like Tom Hanks, I've seen him. I've seen him on the round table. I've seen him doing certain things now where I just see him more. So if I see him on the red carpet, it's not like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this guy speak outside of this movie in a year.
And
even Tom Cruise was on Netflix's special last night. He was on Drive to Survive. When else would you ever see a guy like Tom Cruise? But he was in the pits of the Mercedes drivers last night.
He was not at the SAG Awards.
He was.
I don't know if he was nominated, actually. If not, he should have been for Top Gun. Was he? I don't think he was nominated. Top Gun should have been nominated.
Oh,
I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to look this up really quick. But anyway, so people don't watch it as much, but the little, you know, speeches still go viral. Yeah. We still talk about the red carpet looks. By the way, shout out to my personal faves. I don't know if you looked up the looks, but Zendaya, Quinta Brunson, Haley Lou Richardson from The White Lotus looked amazing. Giving a shout out to a couple guys, Austin Butler rocking a great suit, and Eddie Redmayne had a big bow tie situation, and I enjoyed it. So there were some good looks. Zendaya and Quinta Brunson just never missed. They're two of my favorites.
What were the big storylines? Because, from the Golden Globes, we kind of got a hint of things. But now when you get to the SAG Awards, you get those through lines from award show to award
theme,
show.
Yes, yeah. Which I do love. There tends to be a theme that comes out of an award season because the same movies are nominated in each show. And so you kind of see the same people and you get these stories. And the one that I am loving this year is actually across a couple different properties, and you got to see it at SAG because they award TV and film.
Right.
But is this theme of a second chance later in life? We saw Brendan Fraser win last night for The Whale, and, you know, star of The Mummy, star of School Ties and all these movies when he was like young and muscly. And then we didn't see him for a long time, and now he's come back in the Renaissance. And he spoke in his speech, he won about the courage to hold on and to keep going and to put one foot in front of the other and that things will happen. And then Ke Huy Quan, who we all know from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. He was a child star. He was in The Goonies. And then he basically said there were not, unfortunately, terribly, opportunities for him as an Asian actor in Hollywood. So he disappeared for decades. And now decades later, he's back. Winning as the first time ever an Asian actor has won in Best Supporting for Everything Everywhere All at Once. And he's tearing up in his speech talking about, again, how he like got this chance and he didn't think it would happen for him. And then Jennifer Coolidge wins for The White Lotus, cracks everybody up. And she's a woman who is the hottie Stifler's mom in American Pie. She's in Legally Blonde.
She never disappoints in her speeches.
No.
I mean, from every speech I've heard, I hang on every word because I never know what's coming out of her mouth next. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's sentimental. I love her speeches. She's been a great breath of fresh air this award season.
But listen to what you just said. I love that. A breath of fresh air.
Old school.
A fresh air from someone who is, I think Jennifer Coolidge is in her 60s, and she's talking about how she's getting this second chance. And by the way, as we all know, in Hollywood, opportunities for women tend to get less as diminish. They get older.
Yeah.
So it's just been this beautiful, like, inspiring thing of it doesn't have to be over. And I love that because, I mean, I always try to tell myself, I can't wait to see what's next. The best is yet to come.
Right.
And, but you know, well, let's be real, Chris Harrison. You're 17 years older than me. Is the best what's yet to come?
I'm excited. It's funny. I just texted this to my daughter this morning that when you wake up and life gives you a clean slate, I find that an exciting time.
Mm.
She just went through something where she has a clean slate in life. So did I emotionally when you and I went through what we went through. And while it sucked, and I would not wish that on anybody, and I didn't want to go through that way, I relish a clean slate in life. And sticking with your passion, sticking with what you love, and going for that is, I think, extraordinary. And it takes a lot. I was watching golf yesterday. There's this 37-year-old man, Chris Kirk, who won for the first time in 8 years. He's 37. That's really getting old as far as professional golfers on the PGA Tour. You're kind of hoping to get to 50, to get to that senior tour, and he's not a big star. And so what is it within certain people that they will just continue to grind and go with this passion? I feel excited about a clean slate.
Mm.
And I don't know if Jennifer Coolidge felt like that way because she's been, you know, staying in this business, but I just find it interesting.
I think we all view life as very linear, right? Which makes sense because it's time and it happens linearly as we see it every day. But your career, you know, I don't know. I grew up thinking, and my parents weren't wrong for this, but like work hard and do well and work your way up in your industry. But acting, especially the business we're in, is so not linear. Like you can have zero opportunities, then all of a sudden everything can change. Or you can be like a child star and then the opportunities fade away. So it's not linear. And I think they're showing, like this award season is showing a change in Hollywood, like a celebration that you can be older and still be doing exciting new things. And I love that because, gosh, if we're not like continuing to grow and evolve as people and get better and experience more and learn, then what else are we doing, you know?
Life is like the stock market. It's like it's a roller coaster ride. It's not this slow ascension straight up. There are severe ups and downs.
You did tell me the other day, you said that you texted your dad that you were really happy right now.
I did.
Yeah.
I am as happy as I have ever been.
Wow.
In life, love, professionally. I love having this podcast. I love having this platform. I love doing it with you. I love that a woman stopped me in the gym this morning and said, Chris, I'm listening to your podcast. I love hearing from you. I love hearing from Lauren. And so I love the impact this has had. So I love where we are right now.
Yeah.
And this too shall pass and change.
Yes.
And on to the next.
Oh, I saw this great quote from Tom Hanks. Let's circle back on that.
I saw that too on that panel.
Yes. And he said that this thing that sticks with him is this too shall pass in both ways. Like this too shall pass. If you're going through a tough time, it shall pass. And if you're going through a good time, that will pass too.
Right.
So enjoy the moments and appreciate where you're at.
Yeah. When the critics are crushing you, this too shall pass. But he said, when you win an Oscar, this too shall pass.
Yes. So stay humble.
Very interesting.
Yes.
One bone to pick with the SAG Awards.
Ooh.
And I have always had this issue with the SAGs, which I have covered. I've been on the red carpet.
Here comes the drama.
I'm a member of SAG. You are too, I assume.
Of course
yes.
I am, babe.
So
where do you think I'm getting my health insurance?
We are both SAG-AFTRA members. I have been a SAG member for many years. They never recognize reality TV shows.
Mm.
The SAGs represent and celebrate TV and film. And they've just never given in to the reality world. And I remember back in the early 2000s when we were really crushing it, Idol was crushing it. Some of these other shows were really picking up steam. And I thought they were going to give in like the Emmys did, and they just never have relented in that way.
So there's no reality TV categories.
None.
That's such a good point because it's SAG-AFTRA. I mean, which they combined years ago to include like radio, television.
Well, I promise Ryan Seacrest, Bergeron, me, Phil. I mean, we're all SAG members.
You have to be, by the way, because shows, I mean, to explain it, the way shows work is they're union shows. So you have to be a union member in order to work on these shows. And you're right. There's no reality TV categories.
So that's my only bone to pick. And I think that is obviously, it's something a part of the industry that was, we were the call girl.
Oh,
if you will, of the business. Sure, people love to sleep with us, but no one wanted to talk to us in the morning.
They didn't want to bring you out to dinner.
They didn't want to take us out in public. That's how people looked at reality TV. I'll never forget the way the president of ABC spoke of The Bachelor in those early days. It was like almost apologetic. And now everybody's kind of leaned into it. And even some of the biggest stars in our business are doing reality shows. So I'm kind of shocked that the SAGs have just never gone that direction.
Well, we have talked before too about, I mean, I'm looking up at the at our mantle right now. You have an Emmy nomination for when you hosted Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But I, when I was covering the show, always had a bone to pick with the Emmys about the fact that The Bachelor, you guys never won. Were you ever even nominated?
Never nominated for anything in any category.
Which is nuts. You're the number one reality TV show. The work the crew did, the production value of The Bachelor, it is nuts that it was never nominated.
It takes a big campaign. We never leaned into the campaign of it all. I mean, look, the politics of it is this, and I'm surprised we didn't at least get nominated. I agree with that. But if the people, this is hard politically to say, if the person that's running the show is not very popular in this business, you're not going to get the votes.
You're talking about
just
someone.
Anybody. I'm just saying anybody. Okay. Any show, if the person running it, the person that created it is not a popular person and somewhat disliked in this business, you're not going to get the votes. Bruckheimer did Amazing Race.
Oh.
They won ad nauseum to the point where I was there 1 year and people were kind of laughing because American Idol was the Michael Jordan of reality TV for a while. It should have just won every year. It was just dominant.
Huge.
Yeah, it changed television. It changed all kinds of things about our business. And it wasn't winning year in and year out. It was Amazing Race. Not that Amazing Race wasn't a beautiful show and shot well and all that, but I was disappointed that we didn't win for direction, art, even some of just the peripheral awards. But Bachelor was just completely ignored during award season. And they leaned into it for a while. All of a sudden, Warner's like, oh, we're going to try and win an Emmy. I'm like, no, we're not. Like if you didn't win by now, if you weren't recognized by now, clearly you're not liked. You're not going to be nominated.
Well, it's you and Tom Cruise. I'm just confirming here in the SAG list. Okay, Top Gun Maverick was nominated for Stunt Ensemble in a Motion Picture. Now, remember, it's only, of course, like performance nominations for the SAG Awards. It's about acting, but
stunt. What was that category? Stunt Ensemble?
I didn't even know Stunt Ensemble was a thing, but when Top Gun Maverick did not get an ensemble nomination overall.
Wow.
Tom Cruise not nominated. It's always interesting to me. Awards shows struggle to acknowledge the biggest movies there are. They don't.
That's why the Golden Globes got it right. It's a cocktail party and we don't care. The foreign press, Hollywood foreign press is like, we don't care. We're going to bring the biggest stars in the world, whatever movie they were in. We want them on the red carpet.
Well, there was a lot they got wrong.
So
there's a lot they need to work on. But they got the big movie thing right.
But one of the things that the SAGs got wrong is not representing reality shows. Speaking of reality shows, there is a new one on the horizon. It is out. It's on Fox. It is called Farmer Wants a Wife.
You have worn a plaid shirt for it here today.
I have worn a plaid shirt to look like a farmer. And we are authentic because we're shooting this in Austin, Texas. We moved here just for this. So I watched Farmer Wants a Wife. We watched it separately, actually, because we didn't want to watch it together so we could get our thoughts on this. It immediately gave me Chris Soules vibes.
Brought you back.
Took me back to the day with Farmer Chris Soules, who lived in Iowa, farmer. And I went to his house. We shot there. We were in Iowa and the closest town, my hotel was a good hour away from his house. And that was a small town. So the closest he's coming to a Starbucks, a good bar, a restaurant, it's an hour away. So I get this life of farmer needs a wife because farmer ain't meeting anybody unless it has four legs and some hooves. So it is difficult. I get it. So, but it took me back to that show, which I loved. I loved doing that season with Chris Soules.
Farmer Wants a Wife. We sat down, we watched it. It instantly gave me The Bachelor meets Yellowstone vibes.
Yeah. Okay.
But with four bachelors. And you're right. I thought of Chris Soules too, because it made me realize how real his struggle was. These guys, these four guys on Farmer Wants a Wife, they're kind of farmers, ranchers. I don't know the difference between, like they have cattle. I don't know, but they are living in the middle of nowhere. One guy says his closest neighbor is 2 miles away.
I'm telling you, I went to Chris's house. That's legit. And by the way, it's not even getting on a road. You're getting on a dirt road then to get to someone else's house.
So I have to give this show credit on that. I believe it was something I did struggle with when covering Bachelor, Bachelorette, was believing the reality that these people were actually struggling to find love. Like, I'll never forget I used to interview the leads on their first photo shoot. So before filming had started, they're taking their promo photos as the Bachelor, Bachelorette. And I'm sitting there with the wonderful JoJo Fletcher, who we love. But at the time I had to say to her, I'm just meeting her. And I said, I got to ask you, I think she was 24. You're 24. Right.
Gorgeous.
You've barely gotten out of college. You're beautiful. You're fun. You're kind. You're really struggling to find a date. You're really struggling to find the one. I mean, at 24, you've barely been looking for the one yet. You haven't even put in that much time. So that was something I struggled with believing on the show.
Jordan Rogers would argue yes.
But with these guys, I mean, also there are four guys all in their 30s.
Hunter, Alan, Ryan, and Landon. Those are your four farmers. And the way this is set up, they've already done this is interesting because getting into these shows is always the difficult part as a producer. And so what I liked is they've done some legwork already. They've shown these guys some film, some tape, some pictures, what have you. They narrow it down to 8. So we start with 8. Then they narrow it down to 5 that first episode. And those 5 are immediately moving in with these farmers. Not to the glorious mansion, in quote unquote Malibu. You're moving on to their farm immediately. They're going straight to hometowns.
Yes. So they basically kind of did interviews on paper and then narrowed it down.
You do not pass go. You do not get an overnight fantasy suite. You do not get a balloon ride or a nice beach. You're going straight to the farm.
Straight to the honestly. Yeah, I mean, they are literally shoveling.
Yes.
And we're probably going to bleep out me saying that, but I don't know how. Manure. They're shoveling manure metaphorically and literally away.
You rarely ever cuss. It's kind of sexy when you do.
Wow.
We're going to take a time out and come back. No.
And they get right into it. And also, like I said, these guys are all in their 30s. So the believability factor on this show for me was pretty high in terms of, I felt like this is real. These guys really have not been able to find someone. Also, all the contestants were a little bit older, which look, I'm not saying, of course, in your 20s, you deserve to find love and you should be looking for it. But if we're talking about, if we're basing this around the narrative of, I haven't been able to find love, I find it more believable with people who are a bit older because I think you've literally spent the time searching.
When I've done, I did a little research on this show. I wasn't aware it's already in 35 countries.
Farmer Wants a Wife?
Yes. It's already around the world. And so it's sometimes a concept will either be created in America, taken around the world, like The Bachelor, Bachelorette. But sometimes we get a foreign concept, an international concept, and bring it to America. And so this has worked around the world. And now, oddly, it's just coming to America. You would think a show like this would have started here because we're so into the heartland. It always brings up that interesting fish out of water scenario in dating where you have the country boys and then you have these women from LA, New York, cosmopolitan in their high heels, their beautiful white tennis shoes, walking through the muck and the mud. And it brings up an interesting point in relationships. Is it, and do you believe in birds of a feather stick together, or do you believe in opposites attract?
Oh, what we were just talking about earlier. Yes. Are you asking me?
Yeah. I mean, and I think maybe both are applicable at times.
Well, I think that you have to find someone who challenges you, like someone who maybe and maybe balances you out, has qualities other, like you are much calmer than I am.
So what? I'm less dramatic,
which is great for us. But you know, I think, as I said before, I think it's about finding someone who likes to do the same things. Maybe your personalities balance each other out, but you have to be in common on how you like to live, on what you want to get out of life, how you want to live your life. Like, that's the big question for these people. Do you want to really come live on a farm?
Right.
And do you really want to be shoveling the shit every day? Because this is real. And I love that they drop them right in the middle of it. I also kind of, you know, another criticism of people on reality dating shows has been, are they just in it for the fame? With these guys, I'm like,
yeah, there's no fame here.
No, and these are their real jobs. Yeah. I mean, one guy's like, I am a fourth generation farmer. This is my family's farm. I was thinking, no part of me was thinking, oh, these guys are just trying to move to LA and get a career as an influencer. Like, I believe that this is what they're really doing.
There was one thing that stood out to me because I felt like it was standing out to you.
Oh, you're watching it thinking of how I was watching it.
Yeah. Can you think of what that was that stood out to me where I'm like, oh, she's gonna talk about
it. Oh, it's
this.
A little, but I wrote it down too. The stupid sayings.
Redneck sayings.
I shouldn't say stupid, but I didn't understand them. I think one guy said, did you write it down? What did they say?
So one farmer said, Ashley's just cuter than a speckled pup sleeping under the shade of a wagon wheel.
Okay, now say it as if you would actually say it.
Ash is just cuter than a speckled pup sleeping under the shade of a wagon wheel.
This is when you're born in Dallas, Texas side comes out. Chris will say things, you guys, and I don't know what they mean. The one that gets me every time is he will say, as if, like, in all seriousness, I'm so hungry I could eat the crotch out of a low-flying duck.
I do say that from time to time.
What does that mean?
I don't know. And I don't know where it came from. There are just sayings in my family.
The crotch. So hungry I could eat the crotch out of a low-flying duck.
Happier than a clam. There was another saying that I have used before. He got it slightly wrong on the show. More nervous than a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I think the correct redneck saying is more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But that was also, I knew that was going to stand out to you, those redneck sayings.
I didn't even know a long-tailed cat was a real thing.
A farmer wants a wife.
Yes. It felt very real to me. I'll be interested to see what happens. The question also for these farmers is, like, in the very first episode, one of the first women he picks is the woman who says she's from New York and she's never even, like, touched a horse. And I'm thinking, okay, well, buddy, we see what your problem is.
Right.
And that's also the question, right? Can we pick correctly for ourselves?
Well, I'm in. I will continue to watch. I'm curious to see how this social experiment goes. And speaking of where we're going to go, we're going to take a break. When we come back, speaking of Fox, Jenny McCarthy is going to join me on the show today. She's on the panel of Masked Singer. She has her own podcast/radio show. She always has something great to say, and I can't wait to dive in with Jenny McCarthy when we come back.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Jenny McCarthy.
How are you?
Welcome to the most dramatic podcast ever.
I could not wait, can I tell you?
What sex den are you calling in from? The mood lighting behind you, the blue?
You know, There's two sextens in this house, but this one is for broadcasting.
Okay. Oh, great. Where are you?
I'm in my basement.
In which house? In Chicago?
In St. Charles, Illinois, which is about an hour and a half outside of Chicago.
Gotcha.
And if you will, close to pretty much rural Illinois.
You know, Lauren Zima, my fiance, is from Elgin.
Oh my God. That's like literally 20 minutes.
You guys are neighbors. That's why you're both phenomenal people. Good Midwestern women. Congratulations on another season of The Masked Singer.
Thank you very much. I'm so lucky and blessed because this show is like, it's finally something where I can feel proud of something. You
know what I mean? Well, and it gets to the point, and I don't think you ever fully do this, but you can also relax a little bit in that you know it's going to come back. When, you know, I remember that tipping point of The Bachelor when you are in the middle of taping and you're like, I wonder if we'll do this again. Once you get to the point where you can actually enjoy the fact that you're already going to know it, there are another season's on the way is exciting.
It's absolutely. But you know, in show business, the show might go on, but you might not. So
you think that show is going to go on without Jenny McCarthy? You're out of your mind.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, the biggest blessing has been people around the country coming up to me and saying, wow, you know, for the first time in a very long time, sometimes ever, my child has left their computer, their phone to come sit next to me to watch this show. Like we did back in the old days,
right?
As my son likes to say, back in the 1800s.
Think That's of a crazy concept, getting together as a family and watching just a fun show.
Right, right. And, you know, it's fun because, you know, people are unmasked and they might be a famous young YouTuber that, you know, us old folks might not know. But then, you know, we get Dick Van Dyke, which we cry, which all of us adults know.
Do you want to know a secret? That
I do.
Only Lauren Zima knows this. Now I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
They reached out to me to be on The Masked Singer this season.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't do it. Why?
Well, I don't know if we should spoil it that I didn't do it, but because I might be just taking off one of the animal heads this
week.
That's
true. You could be. You could be.
No, they approached me. It is the same casting director that used to cast Dancing with the Stars. And so I knew her, I've known her for quite some time. And she reached out to me and thought, hey, you know, this might be a good fit for you in this kind of comeback tour. And so that way they approached me.
Chris, do you sing?
I don't. I mean, I do. I sing loud, but not well. And that was leading me to the question. And obviously that's something that the majority of celebrities will worry about is, hey, I suck at singing.
And it's okay because this show is an entertainment show. So it's people like Gronkowski was on.
Right.
And he made it like almost three rounds. I think he did make it three rounds because he was so magnanimous. He was so, had so much fun. He had the audience, you know, in the palm of his hand. So it's really just a matter of if you're having fun, then the viewer is having fun.
Are they tweaking the voice at all? I mean, we get a little auto-tune?
No. Because it is, after all, a game show.
Yes.
You know, so you can't,
you're right,
cheat.
There are all. Yeah, there are standards and practices involved and lawyers get involved and it has to be on the up and up.
Now, mind you, this is coming from someone that has to mouth happy birthday at parties because I can't sing.
Right.
But I will say the one thing that is different as a panelist, as a judge, they don't really have the speakers near us. So the house can hear it. So that's why a lot of times we're leaning in. Like,
oh, interesting. Yeah, I get that.
It was a little harder. That's why when I watch it at home, I'm like, of course it's so-and-so. You can hear it a lot clearer, but we take the beatings from, you know, you guys on Twitter. It's okay.
That it just makes for the fun. But that happened to me a lot during The Bachelor is that, like you said, the speakers would be for the crowd. And oftentimes somebody was a low talker and I couldn't hear and I would miss little jabs and little things. And you don't realize when you're in that moment, it's just hard to pick things up. And that audience is loud and there's so much going on and the producers are talking in your ear. So there is a lot. I have a behind the scenes question though.
Yeah.
So I love the show. And yes, it would have been better if it were me taking off a panda head this year and just watching your reaction. But when you guys are guessing, when the panel is guessing who is it? Is that just you guys riffing? Are there producers telling you? Because it cracks me up when you're like, I think it's Barack Obama. I think it's Beyonce. No, it's Bono. Those Obama's not going to be on this show.
Listen, if the producers were giving us, it's us reaching when we really don't know or can't figure out some, like there's a lot of times I'm like, I can't remember that actress's name. I don't want to butcher it.
Right.
I don't want to be a meme forever. So you'll pull out a name that no one, that everybody knows.
That everybody, you know,
that everybody knows. You're
like, is it Charlize Theron, Theron? Damn it.
Totally. And well, you know, Ken Jeong's got this, you know, whole thing now where he's just terrible and it works. You know,
well, that's so the thing. If you're going to be so bad, you got to be consistent. He can get away with it.
100%. Now, mind you, I am very competitive. Even though it's a fluffy game show, I still like compete to get the most right. Like we had golden ears that were given away.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? We're going to compete as to who gets the most. I mean, I'm literally out of my mind.
Are there any side bets going on with the judges?
No, I think they've given up pretty much because I'm really that good.
You're just dominating.
Well, this is the thing. I'm sure those bozos only read Google alerts about themselves. Whereas me, I'm a pop culture, you know, expert. I, you know, just having to do radio for 7 years, doing celebrity news, you learn about everyone's dirt. So when there's clue packages going on, I'm like, oh, I know who got a divorce recently, or I know who went through that traumatic thing. You pick up on all those things, whereas they really only know about themselves, which I like to make fun of themselves for that.
Speaking of your show, that's the last time I saw you. I was trying to think. The last time we were together, and it was at your show in New York at the XM Studios. It's been a while since I've seen you. Pre-COVID, all those crazy.
I know.
So it's been a while.
It almost seems like a blurry dream, those years, doesn't it?
I miss seeing you, and I always just speak so highly of what an amazing person you have always been, and you were always such a good supporter.
I'm gonna do a little tidbit about you, too, for a second, which was... Chris came on The View, and I think you were on for a whole week.
I was, yeah. My daughter and I came out, but yeah, I co-hosted for a week.
For a week. And he was so incredible, of course. He's very good at what he does. But we felt, me and Sherry were like, oh my God, we love him. We need to have him as the first male co-host on The View. So we went to bat. Me and Sherry were like, we need the first male co-host. It's got to be Chris. He's amazing. And you were so freaking good. It was so great to have this male perspective, but you did it so well. And I just feel like now looking back, it would have been the meanest thing if I got you on this
right
show.
That would have been a special kind of hell you introduced me to. But you know what's funny?
Totally.
I came out there because Barbara Walters had this kind of go-to executive producer, Bill Getty. And you know, yeah. Bill. So Bill kind of ran The View and he was the behind the scenes guy. And then Barbara was there. So Barbara brought me in that week to co-host with you, thinking they were possibly going to add a guy and that I might be that person, and say they brought me in for the week to kind of just try it out. And so that actually was a topic of discussion for a little time with Barbara and with Bill. And this is obviously before Barbara left.
It was so fun.
And it was fun back then. You know, it really was fun back then. Yeah, things got contentious, but it remained fun and level-headed.
Exactly. Well, the interesting thing behind the scenes on that is, you know, when they hired me, they said, you know, it was a little too polarizing, the show. We want to bring a pop culture person to make it light and fluffy.
Right.
There's no one fluffier than myself. I could like to fluff.
You are fluffy.
You know, nothing too serious. And within the first week of, you know, bringing some pop culture, some fun, Barbara was like, I miss fighting. I miss the debates of politics. And they brought it back in. And I was, after a week, I was like, oh no, this is not my
This is not for me. Yeah, this is not, I'm out. The best thing you ever did.
Oh my God. It's, you know, it's like, I'm one of those people that, you know, you ever have those like drunk relatives at the holidays and you kind of get the upset stomach?
It's usually,
and you're like,
it's usually me.
I have like, you know, trauma being an Irish Catholic right. family from Chicago. There's always somebody that you're just like, and that's what, you know, that kind of fighting always made me feel like. I have a hard time watching shows that are, you know, that kind of brutal.
But you watched, and you, one thing that we had in common, you watched The Bachelor and Bachelorette back in the day, and you were into that show, and that those shows can give you that uncomfortable feeling. There's that new show on Fox, Farmer Wants a Wife. I know you.
I love it.
I do too. And I know you watched it. There are those uncomfortable moments, but it's somehow all out of love. And so you don't feel so bad.
That is absolutely correct. You know, and it's also, you have a little bit of compassion for looking at, are you You know, looking at the younger generation of like having to go through it, like, you know, that's easier than someone that's kind of being really vicious and mean.
And you got these farmers, these guys, poor guys are like in the outskirts of nowhere. And these women are coming in from LA. It'd be like you, Jenny McCarthy, rolling up to a ranch in her heels, like scooping poop and baling hay. I mean, good luck.
And guess what? That farmer would have got me because we have a ranch where we do all that kind of stuff, and not necessarily, we don't have animals on it yet, but it's, we love it. Like, really? The reason why I left LA were two reasons. I wanted my son to not be raised by a bunch of crazy people in LA. There's just too much, you know, it's chaotic. But also I was almost 40 and still looking for love. And I was like, you know, in LA, I just, there were so many guys that either, if you're 40 in LA, you have to date 60 because the 40-year-olds can date 20.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't want to slow down and watch Wheel of Fortune yet. You know, I have so much in me still. And the down to earth, feelings I got from Midwest guys. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back home and see if I can find somebody back there. So there is something with this show that I feel like, I was trending way before the show. Whereas like, there's a lot of people that are leaving the big city.
No, you're right.
You know, looking for love in and moving to these rural places.
Well, I mean, the show has had such success. And, you know, and speaking of your success, and I love the fact that you made a concerted effort to find love. And that's, and if you think, okay, this is the Jenny McCarthy, sex symbol, playmate of the year. And she left to make a real effort to find love. That should tell everybody something, that you make it a priority.
That's right. You absolutely make it a priority. Not everyone can pick up and leave, you know, their jobs, but I mean, I didn't have a job either. My agent was like, you're what? You're leaving?
But you can make it a priority wherever you are. I don't think you have to leave, but to your point, to your credit, I love that. And when you found Donnie, and this is what a, I'm going to say an underrated love story. The two of you just, man, y'all just fit. I love you guys together, and I love what y'all have done. And it's not that your prior relationships were pretty public, and you thought, okay, you know, Jenny and Jim could work. They're cute. I see it. And then when you see you and Donnie, you're like, oh, that works.
Totally. You know, every day we still get butterflies. We talk about it. We text and FaceTime at least. Look, he just texted me right now. I love you. It's constant. We FaceTime, sleep together. Like he literally reminds me of me. If there's such thing as mirrors in relationships, even my family and my friends are like, oh my God. And it, you know, it took a long time. I remember putting it out there to the universe saying, you know, okay, I'm done having to cook anybody. Like, I don't want anyone medium rare. I want them well done. They learn their lessons. Like, I've done the work here now. So the universe bring me the level of vibration that I'm at, because I kept bringing guys in that I have to pull up to my vibration.
You're like, I can make this work.
I'm like, I just, and he turned out to be everything.
Speaking of Farmer Wants a Wife, because those ladies are making a big commitment to move, Donnie did that for you. Right? He moved to Chicago.
By the way, Chicago doesn't seem like that bad, but when you say St. Charles, Illinois, which is, you know, we've got a main street, it's mom and pop stores.
Well, and he's an East Coast guy.
He's an East Coast guy. He's a city guy. Yeah. But when he came here, he said, you know what? I've always fell in love with the main street, small town. And he's like, Illinois cornfields are different than, you know, other kind of rulers, but just corn everywhere. But he fell in love. He literally, I said, do you ever want to move? He said, I can never. There's this love. There's this down to earth sensibility. You know what it is? We live our life here. We don't work our life away. We live our life.
Interesting.
And it's so wonderful.
What a great way to put it.
I feel like what I get from the show when I watched it too, I was like, oh, just... I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of girls that are going to want to date farmers after this.
Well, and I, to your point, I think it's important for the woman, or, you know, I guess there's four, if they end up with four, that will not be the square peg in a round hole. Hopefully these farmers will see, don't just get a city girl to get a city girl. it's a girl that you don't need to, as you put it, bake any further. Like, correct, she's actually willing and ready and is a mirror image and ready to blend into this life, because you can get the opposite of that and it won't work.
You know, it won't work real quick.
Yeah.
Because when you, it's kind of like if you've ever gone on vacation thinking it will de-stress your mind and you realize, oh, my mind came with me.
Right.
You know, going to a small rural city, your mind actually is louder. So if you haven't done the work on yourself, those farmers are going to see it real quick that they picked, you know, looks over love if they don't pick right.
You're also an amazing parent. And lately, you have been talking, well, 20-year-old, and we both, our kids are about the same age. I have a 21-year-old, 19-year-old. Evan's what, 20?
20.
Yeah, 20. It's crazy. And he's venturing off into the world of music.
Only one time so far, but it is for love.
For his, what, he loves music, or he's using music to find love?
He fell in love. Well, this is the story, and I'll make it quick.
Yes.
His heart got broken by his girlfriend. His girlfriend cheated on him. And so he was devastated and put, and he's such a big-hearted, loving teddy bear. He mourned and put all of his love into this love song for his crush that he's had forever, which is Selena Gomez. And he wrote these beautiful lyrics, and he called me in the room and he said, will you take a look at this love song I wrote for Selena Gomez? And I'm like, oh my God, Evan, those are nice little words. I love that. That was very sweet. Patted her on the head and left. The next thing I know, Donnie said, oh, I'm going to have him like sing to this song. And I'm like, really? He sings like me though. He's like,
he got your gift. Actually,
he's like, he sounds really good. And the words are sweet. And the next thing I know, my ex-husband who shoots music videos is like, let me put a music video together.
Wow.
And voila, we've got, he posted his first song called It Doesn't Matter under Evan Asher. So if you want to check it out, but Selena Gomez hasn't contacted him yet.
This is a great story to follow up on.
Oh God. And every 2 hours, he asks me if I've heard from Selena Gomez.
Oh, that's funny. Well, so I guess it begs the question then, because I am in this camp too with my kids, of how far you go, right? You want to help your kids. You want to push their dreams and goals and all those things. But there's a point where you could, you know, get diminishing returns and you can almost hurt them at times. And, correct, you know, Donnie, obviously very well connected to the music world. You are connected in the media. And so, and it sounds like your ex-husband has jumped in. So that's a lot. You have to try and weigh that. Was that difficult for you guys?
No, because I know that music isn't necessarily his passion.
Okay.
He's in college right now for videography. He does a really good job with like his YouTube channel, Gaming USA. And he loves filming. Whenever I see a spark in him, I will put everything I've got behind it.
Yeah.
This was a family affair to help heal someone's heart. You know, this is more or less why we all came together as a family, because my stepson, his stepbrother, mm-hmm, wrote the melody, the music to it. And so it was a family affair of just, wow, you know, making Evan feel better and wanting him to send a song to his crush.
This is like the new age dysfunctional Partridge Family.
Completely. And, you know, it takes a lot for me not to just like call her agent or publicist to say, hey, why don't you just, so it's, you know, I'm not like pounding social media yet.
Yeah.
But I'm like, let's just give it a few weeks, Ev. Let's give it like a good month and see if you can just do this and reach out and, you know, maybe you'll get a follow or maybe you'll just get a heart.
It sounds like you are in a wonderful place in life. You just seem like you have this balance, this evenness about you. Is that accurate?
That is 100% accurate. I'm so grateful. Every day I'm like, I'm so grateful. I love myself. I love my family. I'm grateful for health. I'm grateful for my job. It's just, I'm really at that place. And it took a lot of work because there's been a lot of crap in my life that I have put up with. But it's not how you get knocked down. It's how you get up. And I just keep getting up.
Yeah. I always tell my kids, it's a roller coaster ride. It's not just this simple, straight ascent. That life doesn't treat you like that.
It's true. And, you know, and you get your feelings hurt. And the thing is, you don't run away and quit. You just get up and keep going. And I felt like I'm always going to be a juggernaut. you know, I'm just going to just keep, oh, you don't want me. I'm okay. I'm find someone that does. I'm going to just keep going. You know, it's been 30 years in this business.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
yeah.
When I read numerous, oh, her 15 minutes are up. Her 15 minutes are up. Well, I'm still here.
I'm not betting against you.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm still eating at Wahlburgers, damn it. By the way, so when I was shooting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in Vegas, I would stay at Caesars, but it's actually kind of in front of Bally's, and we shot behind Bally's. We'd shoot into the night, we'd get done. Inevitably on our way home, it's like, well, there's Wahlburgers. We'd stop, grab a burger and a beer. By the way, it's a good burger.
It's a good burger.
I'm going to give it a little promo. Wahlburgers is good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a good burger.
It's no joke.
It's a good burger.
Tell Donnie, I'm giving him a plug.
I totally will. Speaking of plugs, I do want to ask you a question about the Farmer Show. Jennifer, what do you think of her as a host?
I spoke to Jennifer, and she's going to be on one of the shows this week as well. She was great. I thought, and I told her this, it's easy to look like a fish out of water in those moments. You get the country singer. I get it. It's a country show, but it's not that simple to blend in. I think she did a great job. I told her, I want more nettles. They didn't give me enough.
They didn't give me enough. She came on screen. She is, by the way, lovable, likable, all those things. But sometimes you don't read that on screen.
Yeah.
You absolutely do. Like the fact that everyone was excited to see her. I mean, she's one of those people. It's like, I'd love to meet someone that doesn't love Jennifer Nettles. Because she's just
someone who hates puppies. I mean, how do you not like Jennifer Nettles? She was great. She is lovely. She's talented as can be. But I told her it is not an easy thing just because you're a country girl to come on a country show. She did it. She did it very well. She's talented.
And you know what? She really is. You know what's interesting, Chris, with these dating shows too? It's like in the beginning, you see these farmers like, oh my God, I get to date all these girls. I'm making out with all these girls. Oh my God, this is going to be so much fun. But then you see that turn when it gets hard to let people go. And that's, you know, it's a very humbling moment to watch.
Well, we used to tell The Bachelor, it's like, yeah, you're all excited. You're dating 30 girls. That means you're breaking up with 29 people. That's what's going to happen. And remember, you're only going home with one. So everybody else here, you're going to have to say goodbye to and break their heart or be dumped 100%. By them. And that's
exactly.
I like the girl that in the first episode where the farmer's like, hey, I'd love for you to stay on my farm. And she's like, yeah, no, I'm going back to New York.
Right?
Good for you.
Well, the one thing I do love too is like they've got the farmers and they've got the girls and it's like a two-way street. So the girls get to look at the farmers and go, I'm more into you than you.
Yeah.
You know, so they get to kind of choose who they want and then the farmers kind of narrow it down from there.
They decide where they're going to cowboy up.
Right? And there's a girl I want you guys to keep out, Cassidy Joe. I got a kick out of her.
Cassidy
Joe. She's got a lot of spunk.
Cassidy Joe.
Lost spunk. Yeah, Cassidy Joe.
Speaking of spunk. You're just the best. And I so appreciate you coming on. I've missed you. Our paths have crossed many times in this business and I've loved every moment we've had a chance to work together beside each other, be on each other's shows. You're just one of those people, in life. Every time I get to bump into, I'm so happy.
You too. I hope you know that. I mean that. And I'm always like, I want to do something with Chris. He's so talented and so down to earth. We must have been related in another life because it's just too easy.
It is. Chris. It's been phenomenal. I'm glad we've had the chance to work together. And I'm so excited, by the way. The ratings are crushing it again for Masked Singer. I was really nervously looking at it because I knew you were going to be on the show. And I'm like, okay, I hope the premiere is big. And it did. It premiered huge again. And you guys are on the
roll. And we've got great theme nights, you guys. The theme nights are out of this world this season.
Like Jennifer's on, right? Jennifer Nettles is a guest panel.
She's a guest panelist this season. And we've got the like 80s themes, DC Heroes, Sesame Street, and New York theme is this week. So you may check it out because it's really, really fun.
Well, the only thing that would have made it worse is if I had been there taking off the ocelot head.
Oh, I hope you do come one season in the future.
Never know. You never know.
You never know.
I do know this. I appreciate you. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course. Of course. Thank you so much.
I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You got it. Bye, hon.
My thanks to Jenny McCarthy. Just one of those people that I have been blessed to get to know in my career and just love her to death. Just always positive. Always a pleasant person to be around and work with. And now that she's gone, I want to give her a shameless plug because she has a new line, a lip gloss line called Formless Beauty. If you want to check it out, go to formlessbeauty.com. And pretty interesting about the Masked Singer. And it was funny. I hadn't even thought about being offered that till she was coming on the show. And it raises the question, would I ever do it? I'll never say never to anything. I love music. I do love to sing. I'm not great at it, but I can get through it. Like anything, the timing has to be right. So we will see. Maybe I'll be taking off that panda head someday. But thanks for joining us today. And thanks to my guest, Jenny McCarthy, just the best. And you are the best. I appreciate you being with me each and every week here on the Most Dramatic Podcast Ever. I will see you next time because we have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at the Most Dramatic Pod Ever. And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.